topics of study. As our topics of study have been used during the course of this month already, we've taken a look at God, our refuge and our strength in time of trouble last week. We move on today to the hopes of God, the idea of life. Jesus, our Lord, when he was tempted and tried by the devil, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, as the scripture saith, or as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We generally emphasize in that passage of scripture the idea of the life, the bread, and the concept of the food that we eat, and the fact that we have life sustaining as we have the sustenance of food in our bodies. The idea of bread, our physical lives. But God is saying through the scripture there in Deuteronomy 8 and in verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus is quoting that passage to say, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not only did God's word command that there be this particular seed that would produce the idea of flour, the idea of bread thereby, but the concept that God's word teaches us other things that spiritually benefit our lives. When Jesus, our Lord, came to this earth in John 10, notice what he said about that. The Son of Man has come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. The idea of life, really live life each day, but have it more in abundance. Have a greater degree of understanding that there is something beyond this earthly life for us to live. We're living here physically. We wake up in the morning, we go about our deeds of activity during the course of the day. When we do that, we're doing something that we have called life. We go to a job place and we make a living in the sense of the work that we do in exchange for monies and values that are shared with us at the end of the week or the middle of the end of the month. And as a result, we carry on our activities of living in that way. But there is a spiritual demeanor about our lives. We are spiritual beings as well as physical beings. And the passage that we referred to in this series of studies, Hebrews 12 and verse 9, we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more God is the Father of our spirit, that we may live, that we'll live with him forever, that we'll live in eternal life with him. The concept of living faithful to God, that we may live with him, is certainly true. When our Lord Jesus said that regarding that in John chapter 14 and verse 23, he said, if any man will honor my word and will love me and honor my word, my Father will love him and we will come and make our abode with him. We'll come and live in his daily walk of life. If a man will do what? If he'll love me, and he'll keep my sayings, keep my word. If we will be people who practice what the Lord says about how to have an attitude toward others, how to speak with others in words that are kind and compassionate and helpful, in words that are telling the truth to others, we'll find ourselves blessed of God's presence. The Father and the Son will come and make their abode in our spiritual life. No, it won't be that he inhabits this physical body of you and me. He inhabited that in the presence of his Son. The idea he lived here physically, that he was going to be put to death here, but how that death could not hold him. And Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and down at verses 22 through 24 said, death could not hold him. He was going to live, and he was going to live beyond the grave. And since his resurrection now has the empty tomb, he gives to you and me the same hope that we will not always remain in the place of the dead, that we will be raised anew, that we'll be called back from the grave, that we'll be given a new body, and that we'll go off to meet the presence of the Lord himself. We'll live with him eternally. That's the concept of Matthew 4, verse 4 also. It's the idea of living. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The spiritual man will live, but the idea of living. When we find ourselves living as God would have us to do, Jesus came that we might not only live, but have life abundantly. But the idea of living as we can in this earth and living in the presence of God is certainly a passage that is frequently read, even from this pulpit, in John chapter 6. And I'd like for you to turn with me in the Bible today, and I want to read these particular verses because they signify for you and me wonderful teaching about life. In John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. In John 6, beginning at verse 25, Jesus is speaking here in regard to his circumstances. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, why camest thou hither? And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth for unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. I'm reading at John 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Reading in John 6 at verse 33, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Yes, there is some life and sustenance that we eat physically, and we eat, as he says, the meat that was given to them, they ate, and physically they lived. But Jesus said the Father sending another form of life. He's sending me as the property of life, life of the spiritual person, life everlasting. When we get together and sing tonight, in our youth devotional as well as our song time tonight, we're going to sing about the presence of God, the love of God, the hope of the soul, heaven, the home of the soul, the peace of God that we live by on this earth. We're going to sing all those kind of songs tonight, the hope of the soul that we have. But what we're talking about is right here. The praise of God for sending Jesus and how Jesus came to bring us teaching and bring us guidance that we might live. Jesus did not teach us to be people who are liars. Jesus did not teach us to be people who are hurtful to our neighbors and family friends as well. Jesus did not teach us to go out in the world and become a deceptive individual. Jesus did not teach us to use profanities. Jesus did not teach us to be vulgar in our ways of the world. Jesus did not teach us to visit and to be a part of people's lives that denied him and rejected him. He taught us to be an influence, a light, and an example to all to do better. To compel those who are teaching lies to change and teach truth. Compel those individuals who are unruly in this world to become very orderly. He taught us to be have people who became people who were wicked in their ways to become very holy in their ways. Jesus taught us to be people who teach others to be patient in life and compassionate toward, and to alter our ways from the ways of evil and wrongdoing to the ways of righteousness and peace. As a result of that, Jesus represents another kind of bread. He is the bread of life. Sent from the Father, He's the bread of life that we might ingest into our spiritual being, that we might live. What a blessing. Continuing on here now, He goes on in John 6 and 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Not of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The idea of our lives as we live on this earth and just feed physically the bread to our bodies that we may physically have strength and physically live is short-sightedness on our part. For if we're the kind of people that Jesus taught and we're listening to what he says and showing our way of life like he instructed us, we will be people who spiritually are rewarded eternally. Listen once again, John 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now you and I know that as Jesus talked about believing on him, he talked about believing on him in the full sense, that we would be obedient to him. For just a couple of chapters over in John 12 and beginning verse 41, there were many of the Jews who believed on him. But for fear they'd be cast out of the synagogue, they would not confess him. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What did they do? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They would not confess him. All they had to do, according to John 6 and 40, is believe on him to have everlasting life. But we know that believing on him, Jesus meant them to understand that there was a way of practice that they had to do. They believed on him in such a way that they would be obedient to him. As a result of that, they would be people who had a hope. These people in John 12, 41, 42 were people who believed on him. They should have had everlasting life, but they didn't have. But they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, and they would not confess him for fear they'd be cast out of the synagogue. They were not people who had the full measure of faith. The full measure of faith on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 was not only to believe, be pricked in the heart, and believe what they heard, but repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. You'll have the forgiveness of those sins. You'll have those sins put away from you if you believe on me and repent and are baptized. In every one of the examples of conversion in the book of Acts, that's what we find. In every one of those examples of conversion, we find that baptism is a commanded act of event. In Acts chapter 10, in reference to Cornelius, those who believe on the Lord, he taught them to do that, and he would bless them, Acts 10, 43. But in Acts 10, 46 through 48, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized who receive the Spirit the same as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Baptism is a part of every one of the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. It's not always stated outright that they believed. It's not always stated outright that they repented. It's not always stated outright that they confessed. But in every one of them, it's outrightly noted. Before they were happy, before they left overjoyed, before they left thrilled, before they left with peace, they were baptized. Some late at night, some in the middle of the desert. The idea is that they were obedient to the Lord. They had a faith that was responsive. Life and faith, faith that's obedient to the Lord, went hand in hand in this New Testament system. When you and I think today as our relationship with the Lord, are we, brethren, obeying the Lord? We obeyed the Lord in the sense of confessing our faith in Him, repenting of sin, being baptized into Christ some maybe years and years ago. But have we continued on maintaining this bread of life? His teaching our lives. What else did Jesus teach us about life? Well, he told us to be people who are forgiving of others. And if we forgive others not their trespasses, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. Are we people who are very forgiving? When people mistreat us, misspeak to us, misguide us, are we people who are willing to forgive? Neither will I forgive you your sins. If you from your heart do not forgive others their trespasses against you. Are we following what Jesus says? As we obeyed him, we became his disciples. He is our elder brother. We have the blessing of everlasting life in our hope. Are we forgiving? Are we resisting temptation, like he said? In Matthew 26 and 41, when Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In our spirit, we want to do the right thing. We want to do the right thing the time we went to be baptized into Christ. We want to do the right thing in regard to his teaching us to be forgiving people. Now, will we be doing the right thing when we deal with temptation? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I worked with many years ago almost 800 cases of individuals in the church that I talked with about prayer. I kept those records for a time, and then one day I went up to Sardis Lake on one of the pits up that way and everything, and I set a bonfire there with those particular pages. I didn't want anybody to get, although they were coded pages, there were no names on them, they were coded pages. I didn't want them to even continue on existing. And paper will make a hot fire in those pits there at Sardis Lake. Believe you me, paper will just, it'll just make a fire. When I had that done, I found out that I had brother and sister who said, "Well, you know, they mentioned somebody to pray for last Sunday." And I never got around to it. To until the next Sunday when it was mentioned again. I was so busy. I didn't even think about praying. I found that to be characteristic of many, many brethren, good and faithful people at one time in their lives. But is that being faithful what the Lord said as we face temptation? Watch and pray. That's what Jesus said to do, that we might resist temptation and ultimately that we might live with Him. When Jesus got through with these particular remarks, in John chapter 6, notice at verse 60 what He said. Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said of them, "Doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." If I will hear what He says in forgiveness, I'll become a better person in forgiving. If I'll begin what He has to say about temptation, I'll be more watchful and prayerful as I face temptations. And I'll be more successful at overcoming them. I'll find myself realizing the presence of God, John 14:23, and His Son goes in my life as I love Him and hear His teachings. These folks were hearing what He said, but in their heart they were murmuring in the sense they were not fully accepting what was said. Brother Dan Bearden has a story about a man who was very skilled. 1957, a crowd of 10,000 people met at Niagara Falls, New York. The falls were noted to be the vast body of water overflowing and just spraying everybody, and it was a tremendous natural particular event. He was a man who was a balanced person, worked in some circuses and the like. He talked to the crowd of people and had them enthroned about, "Do you believe that this line has been stretched across Niagara Falls?" It took him over 5 minutes to walk that line. "That I can walk that line and not fall off into the falls. No net under me, of course." And Brother Bearden would tell the story about him going forth on that and getting that crowd into a frenzy. "Yes, we believe you can do it. Yes, we believe you can do it." 5 minutes later, he had walked to the other side on that line. He, walking back on that line, then got the crowd to ask this particular question for him. "You believe that I can go on that rope once again and go across the falls?" And they said, "Yes, we do." And he noted to them, "Do you believe I can do it blindfolded?" And they said, "Yes, we believe you can do it blindfolded." Upon that, they took a bandana, they put it over his eyes, and true to form, he was a cat on the line. He was able to get on that line, and 5 minutes later, he was at the other end. A crowd of people were there. He said, "Do you believe I can walk back blindfolded?" They all shouted in a frenzy, "Yes, you can walk back blindfolded." "Which one of you now then will get on my back and let me carry him across blindfolded. Suddenly, the crowd became utterly silent. Brother Dan says of that 10,000 were there, all excited about what they could see, what they believed in. Which one to get on my back now? Let me walk you across. They did not have that much trust in him. Well, I would say I wouldn't have had that much trust in him either along the way. But he likened that to the idea of the spiritual Jesus. How Jesus has said, listen, if you will do this faith, if you do this confession, if you do this repentance, if you be baptized in Christ, I'll forgive you. Would we believe it? And let him carry us across sin's great cavern to life on the other side. This song today will remind us of that. As we think about obeying the Lord in full measure and growing as we should in love for Him.